At least two of today's readings are ones that I would bet you're familiar with. Maybe not the one from Jeremiah, and perhaps even Ephesians is a little less well known. But our psalm and our gospel reading are pretty prominent. From the gospel, Mark chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000, the only miracle of Jesus that is recorded in all four gospel accounts, and the other, the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Those are some of the most familiar, beloved, and repeated words in the entire Bible. If a person knows only one out of the 150 Psalms, it's probably this one. It brings comfort every day to those who are in all kinds of pain or trouble. And so it should, because of what it promises us and how it encourages us. These are truly wonderful things. But our gospel reading helps show us how these words of comfort from Psalm 23 are really carried out in our lives. Look at how the words of the psalm are reflected or echoed in this miracle. We read, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then, "Jesus had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things." From the psalm, "He makes me lie down in green pastures," just as Jesus commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. "You prepare a table before me." And from five loaves and two fish, the Lord fed thousands of people. The picture of Jesus as our good shepherd is one that we see in more places throughout the Bible than just these readings. Even in the Old Testament, we see in our reading from Jeremiah the Lord's promise for a better shepherd, one from the line of David, that first shepherd king of Israel. It is a powerful image. The Lord who loves his flock and cares for them, who leads them, who rescues them when even one sheep goes astray. Our King is not a distant or disinterested ruler off in a high palace, but among his people as their shepherd. And of course, being a sheep is an appropriate image for us as well, we creatures that desperately need that kind of considerate care and protection. We see how it is that our Lord refreshes us, renews us, and returns us to where we need to be. In the beginning, we were where we needed to be, living in the Garden of Eden in perfect relationship with our Creator. Adam and Eve lived in accordance with the plan that God had set and the groove that He had cut for them. We, all of humanity, belonged there in paradise according to God's intention, there in that greenest of pastures. But we rebelled and jumped the track, trying uselessly to cut out our own groove instead of following the one our Maker made for us. The sheep have all gone astray. The green pasture was abandoned and spoiled by thorns and weeds and decay. The grave began to cast its shadow across the world. It is within this shadow that our Lord does His work. He leads us and gives us rest. He restores us and feeds us. And all this happens in the valley of the shadow of death. All this happens in the presence of our enemies. I shall indeed dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But that is in a future still to come. For now, we are still in the shadow, among our enemies. But our Lord is here too. And all these things that He does for us as our good shepherd, feeding us, leading us, protecting us, all these things are also happening now, here in the shadow. Our enemies are sin itself, the devil who led Adam and Eve toward that first fall into sin, and death, the consequence of sin. These enemies continue to crowd around us, and we are in their presence as long as we live on this earth. But our Lord is also here, here in the shadow. It's not like God is way out there somewhere, off in His heaven of purity and light and joy, a faraway place that we are striving to get to. He doesn't just call out to us and give us directions on how to get there. He came down to us, to meet us, to guide us in. He does His work for us. This feeding and leading and protecting, He does it right here and right now, in the shadow among our enemies, worldly ones and spiritual ones, sin, the devil, and death. He has defeated these, and He will not let even one of His flock be lost. In a way, this is what we see Jesus doing in the feeding of the 5,000. He leads them to green pastures, to this green grass, and has them lie down to rest. He prepares a table for them, and proverbially their cup overflows. There are 12 large baskets of leftovers, even after all have had their fill. But the psalm mentions another thing. He restores my soul. We see how these 5,000's bodies were nourished and given rest? How did Jesus restore their souls? These blessings are physical, but they are not just physical. The psalm also mentions righteousness and goodness and mercy. What Christ has done on the cross and in the empty tomb provides these things as well. A restful evening in the green grass, an ample dinner of fish and bread, these things provide bodily needs for a day. The teaching of Jesus, as he taught the crowds, as he pointed his disciples to the work that he was preparing to do for their sake, to overcome the shadow of death with the light of the resurrection, this restores souls. He preaches and teaches about the kingdom of God, and that kingdom becomes a reality through his own death and resurrection. He daily and richly provides us with all that we need, especially the needs of our souls. He has compassion and he provides comfort. He is the good shepherd who tends and guides his flock day in and day out. The work of the good shepherd is constant, never completed while this world continues to turn, and he is always caring for his people. The green pastures and green grass of these passages make me think of my own yard. You know how the grass grows around here. You get through mowing it, and after you barely turn your back on it, it already needs to be cut again. One day, it's a beautiful, pristine expanse of freshly mowed grass, with that wonderful, fresh-cut smell that so many people love, a smell that makes you think of summer. The next day, it's well on its way to being a jungle again. That green pasture needs constant attention to keep the beauty and the pleasure and the comfort that it can give us. And our Lord does maintain his pasture for us. The image of this passage is primarily the shepherd, but I remember that after his resurrection, Mary Magdalene mistakes Jesus for the gardener. He is the one who keeps the green pastures the way that they are and leads us into them. Another psalm, Psalm 72, speaks this way about the righteousness of God, that it is like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. This passage is full of smells that spring to life in my mind. Warm bread, roasted fish, the fresh smell of the green grass. The righteousness of God is like that fresh, calm peace of spring showers on lush grass. What a wonderful image. Something about those smells, warm bread and fresh grass, says more to me about the peace of God's grace than many words can. Our Lord takes on the thorns and the weeds of this world, and he works to bring us back home to paradise, to the green pastures that we spoil. He waters the fields with the water that he also pours out on us to cleanse and to nourish. He daily and richly provides for us in the forgiveness and peace and comfort that he gives. How is it that he does that? Well, we are not blessed to be one of those 5,000 who could hear Jesus teaching with their own ears, who could eat the bread and the fish that he provided. But we still receive other things from him. The righteousness and the mercy and the goodness that Psalm 23 promises. When we gather together as the church, we are gathering like those 5,000 to hear the words of the Lord and to be fed by him. The primary reason for Christian worship is not to give anything to God as if he somehow needed our praise, but to imitate the example of those who gathered to Jesus on the grass to receive the gifts that he gives to us. We see the model for this in the gospel miracles. Jesus is the one who provides the food, of course, the one who gives the nourishment to the masses. Without his miracle, then there is no way that these 5 loaves and 2 fish turn into a meal for so many thousands. But we also see that he did not personally walk up and down handing out fish sandwiches to everyone. He sent his disciples out to do it. He gave his wonderful gifts into the hands of his clueless, sinful disciples. They were the ones who set the food out before the people. It's a picture of what happens in the church. I hope the reason that you come is not for entertainment, or to keep other family members happy, or out of a sense of habit or duty or something like that. I certainly hope you don't come here each week to hear me in particular. I can't imagine I am much less clueless or sinful than the disciples. But as the words of the gospel are read, as sinners are baptized, as God's children are fed from his table, I hope you do find the words of the psalm to be true as you come here. The Lord restores my soul. It's easy to forget, but the truth is, we come to church to be God's guests. While we live our whole life in the shadow of death and in the presence of our enemies, we come back here time after time to rest, to sit down in the green pastures he has provided, to hear the teaching that echoed in that lonely place, to take in the gentle waters as this little baby did this morning, to come to the table that he has prepared for us. As we come here for the rest of God, may the words you hear here, words of blessing and forgiveness, words of hope and eternal life, may the Holy Spirit work through them to restore your soul in the gifts of Christ, until you too dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.